Good evening. I'd like to call the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, July 7th, 2015 to order. Could I please get a roll call?
Commissioner Keen?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack is absent. Commissioner Martin?
Here.
And Chair George?
Here. Can you please stand for the flag salute and follow Commissioner Martin?
Please join me in honoring our country. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we'll move on to the agenda review. If the commission has any wish to revise the order of the agenda tonight, anyone?
No.
Seeing none, we will move forward to community comments. This is a time where we invite you to come and speak on issues not on the agenda tonight. Does anyone wish to speak on items not on tonight's agenda? Hearing none, I will close the community comments period and move on to written communications. I don't believe we have any new written communications.
None this evening.
So we'll move on to the consent agenda, approval of minutes for June 16th, 2015. Do the commissioners have any revisions, corrections?
No. Chair George, I believe we may need to postpone these minutes due to a quorum of the last number of commissioners that were present at this meeting.
Then we will hold off on that. So we'll move that to the next meeting then. So then we will move on to public hearings, the consideration of appeal of determination relating to a vacation rental, plot plan review case number 15-010. The location is 230 Old Ranch Road. The appellant is Edwin and Patricia Fichtner. And could you please get a staff report?
Thank you, Chair George, members of the commission. Tonight you're considering appeal number 15-002. This is the appeal of an approval of plot plan review 15-010 for the establishment of a three-bedroom vacation rental located at 320 Old Ranch Road. All right, a little bit about the project location. Again, the property is located at 320 Old Ranch Road. The property is owned one of the city's planned developments, one of the residential portions of the planned development. And surrounding land uses are all residential. So you can see an aerial view of the subject property on the right-hand side and then a street view of the residence on the left-hand side. So staff wanted to give a little bit of background about the vacation rental regulations. So in 2013, the city became aware that a number of residents in the city were operating vacation rentals and homestays, vacation rentals being non-owner-occupied residences being rented out to individuals, and homestays being owner-occupied residences being rented out to other individuals. At that time, there were no city regulations in place to watch over these uses. So staff developed a draft ordinance for public review and input. We conducted two public workshops. The Planning Commission held two public hearings on the item, and the City Council as well held a public hearing to help gain public input on appropriate regulations. And in June of 2014, the City Council adopted Ordinance Number 663 with regulations crafted specifically in response to many of the community concerns raised regarding these uses. Now, some of these regulations in Ordinance Number 663, it does permit vacation rentals and homestays in the city's residential districts. It does require a plot plan review approved by the Community Development Director. It also requires a safety inspection from the Building Division, a business license, and the payment of the transient occupancy tax. Vacation rentals specifically are required to provide a local contact person within a 15-minute drive of the site. The purpose of this is to help deal with neighborhood issues that might arise from unruly guests. And this contact information is mailed to all neighboring property owners within 300 feet of the site and is updated annually with the city when the business license is renewed. Additionally, the regulations for vacation rentals limited the overnight occupants to two persons per bedroom, as well as two additional persons for the living room. There were additional regulations included in order to help ensure that the uses are compatible with the neighborhoods in which they are located. This project specifically, the applicant submitted their application for a plot plan review to establish a vacation rental in an existing three-bedroom residence. They are acting as the local contact person in this case. Staff limited the overnight occupants to eight persons, so that's, again, two persons per bedroom, in this case, three bedrooms, six people, and then two additional persons for the living room area. On-site advertising is also prohibited for the rental. This is a particular distinction made in the code that if on-site advertising is requested, the use essentially becomes a bed and breakfast, and it's a different level of permitting. The applicant's plot plan review was approved on June 12th. Notices were sent to the neighboring property owners with the local contact person's information as well as the appeal information, and the project was appealed to the Planning Commission on June 22nd. Staff did review the project in accordance with CEQA and found that it's exempt per Section 15301 of the CEQA guidelines regarding existing facilities. For tonight's purposes, public hearing notices were mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the site. A public hearing notice was published in the Tribune and on the city's website and posted at City Hall on June 26th of 2015. The agenda and staff report were both posted on the city's website and at City Hall on July 2nd. And staff has spoken to several of the neighboring property owners regarding the city's regulations, the proposed use, as well as the appeal process in general. And I would venture to say some of them are probably in the audience. And at this time, staff does recommend that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution denying appeal 15-002 and approving plot plan review 15-010. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you, Matt. Does the commission have any questions for staff?
Not at this point.
I have a couple questions. The applicant in this, they've complied with the criteria. They've got a business license, and you've gone through the plot plan reviews or, you know, whatever the criteria around qualifying for a vacation rental they've complied with?
To this point, they've complied with everything for the plot plan review. The business license is approved following the appeal period for the plot plan review and following the safety inspection.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
I just have a question. I'm sure it's somewhere in the packet, but it might be easier for me just to ask you. I noticed that there's a transient occupancy tax. That's 10%.
That's correct.
And there's also the payment of tourism business improvement district assessment. That I didn't see that anywhere else. Could you?
Yes, so I can expand on that. Originally, when the uses were, when the ordinance was first adopted, the definition of what included a lodging to be included in the Tourism Business Improvement District was a little unclear as to whether or not it covered vacation rentals and homestays. Therefore, the transient occupancy tax was a given. However, given the TBID taxing provisions, following implementation of the ordinance, a separate ordinance needed to be conducted to ensure that the vacation rentals and homestays were included in the definition and included in the TBID as well. So it's an additional 2% tax.
Okay, for a total 12%.
Correct.
That's my only question. Thank you. So hearing no other questions from the commission, maybe we can hear from the appellant. Are they here? Edwin and Patricia. Come forward.
I have have copies of what I was, I don't know if anybody would be interested in having a copy of what I was going to present.
Sure.
Should I?
We'll give you a B-.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Edwin Fickner. I reside at 332 Old Ranch Road, and that is immediately next door to this project. My wife and I just moved here. First off, I'd like to thank everyone for their time, the commission for hearing the appeal, my neighbors for taking the time to come together in a unified concern. I realize everyone has busy schedules, and a lot of people had to change their schedules to come together. And, you know, it takes a lot in an effort to support others in the community. So, again, I thank you for that. While I stand here with concerns, it's not just about me being a neighbor. It's about every person here should have a concern as to the deterioration of the tight-knit families that we've established within our neighborhoods. By allowing Nina and Kathy to the ability to turn their residential home into a turnstile mini motel, we've set into motion the very actions that will tear our community apart, in my opinion. My wife and I recently moved to Arroyo Grande, where we purchased a home on Old Ranch Road. We took a considerable amount of time in researching the entire Central Coast for a place that we felt was safe, quiet, and gave us a sense of community. We went through great lengths to include everyone in our neighborhood during the holidays so that they might establish a welcoming environment with an open line of communication. We recently there have been a few issues in the neighborhood that have made my wife and I extremely uncomfortable. A neighbor two houses down has had several items from their yard stolen. And both during the night and during the day, we've also had other suspicious activity in the neighborhood, including but not excluded to strange vehicles driving down the road, down the streets, photographing our homes at times that we felt was just kind of out of the ordinary. And we have documented these with local law enforcement. In my opinion, many factors may have contributed to these uncomfortable situations, but if we may exclude the factors we can control, we're taking it one step closer to having a safer community. By allowing this residence to be turned into a daily rental, you will have demonstrably altered our neighborhood from a once comfortable place people could describe as their home. To the letter written by Kathy and Nina, their letter, while heartwarming, presented to both the neighbors and to the city, is sentimental and misleading, and I feel insulting. There can be no connection to the neighborhood, which is described in the letter, while the entire neighborhood disapproves of the establishment of a vacation rental. As well, I believe it to be disingenuous that they say they're protecting their mother's memories and belongings by renting to perfect strangers. This has become more of a business to them. I met Mary briefly, their mother, who passed away, and I did not have the opportunity to engage in many conversations with her, but in the few that I did, I gained an understanding of her personal commitment to the neighborhood and her idealistic value of organization, respect that she retained for the entire neighborhood. I'm told by others that Mary was a responsible neighbor and very active in the fabric of this community. She was opposed to change in the neighborhood and attended many meetings about the number of dwellings to be built on Grace Lane, and others regarding the recreational center that was to be built on Old Ranch Road, fearing this would greatly affect her local community. In my occupation, I work with both Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo County Ag Commissioners, and there are rules, ordinances, and stipulations set forth by both of these governing bodies. We work on a site-by-site basis or a site-specific demographic. In other words, guidelines are set and established but don't fit every situation. These guidelines must be amendable in each of their applications. It is in my opinion that when an entire neighborhood is allowed an opportunity to appeal a recommendation made by the commission, and the neighborhood comes together in 100% of the people that were given these within the 300-foot radius of this home are in opposition, and you should have letters in the packet pertaining to that. This commission should take that under serious consideration, regardless of the ordinance that may be in place and used as a general rule. Therefore, I, with the support of everyone in these appeals, wish the Planning Commission to reconsider and deny the establishment of a summer rental at 320 Old Ranch Road. Thank you.
Thank you. You can stay there. Commissioners, do you have any questions for the appellant?
No.
I don't either, so you can be seated. Thank you. Before I open it to public comment, I'm just wondering if Nina and Catherine are here. Would you like to come up and speak?
Good evening. My name is Nina Reinecker. I have been a homeowner in Arroyo Grande for 23 years. 17 years ago, my mother bought her home on 320 Old Ranch Road so that she could be near me and my sister Kathy, who has also been living in Arroyo Grande for over 20 years. Our mother passed away in March and left us with her beautiful home where we visited her daily. I enjoy traveling and have stayed at people's homes through Airbnb numerous times. Airbnb and VRBO are websites that connect travelers to hosts who can provide a place to stay as an alternative to a traditional hotel. For example, last month, my sister and I and our families went to New York to bury my mother's ashes at the family cemetery plot, and instead of staying at a hotel, we rented a house for 3 nights in a residential neighborhood located near the cemetery. The home was comfortable, warm, and welcoming, and a much better option and less expensive than a hotel. We were respectful of the residential neighborhood and where the home was located, and we did not make noise or create traffic issues. As a host through Airbnb and VRBO, we will research and review all our guests. Through communication by phone and by email, we make sure that our guests are the right match for our home. The home is meticulously maintained inside and out. The house rules state that there are no more than 8 overnight occupants and no noise after 10 p.m. These rules will be enforced. We have had a safety inspection, and we have ample parking. My sister and I both live within 5-minute radius of the house and can easily be contacted if there were an issue. Concerns about security are unfounded. The people staying at the house will not be criminals. They are families like you and I that are in need of a place to stay in our beautiful town. We are paying taxes to the city for each night that our home is occupied. Our guests will be spending money in our city. Rumors and fears about declining home values, crime, and traffic were circulated by my neighbor, which is evidenced in the language and handwriting of the appeal letters. The letters are often identical and were collected and submitted by him. These rumors are false, and they're not based upon facts. I would like to reassure our neighbors that we care about this town and this neighborhood. We own this house, and we would never do anything to bring down property values or compromise the security, beauty, and the serenity of this neighborhood. I think there is a misunderstanding about what it is that we are doing. It's not a turntable hotel or whatever it is. The laws in Arroyo Grande state that we are entitled to have this permit. We meet all the qualifications. We are long-term residents. Unfounded rumors and fear should not take away our rights. I urge the Planning Commission to please take the recommended action of adopting a resolution denying appeal case number 12002 and approving plot plan review 15010.
Thank you. Does the Commission have any questions?
I think my sister wants to speak too.
I just have one question for you, real quick.
Yes, please.
Are you planning on it just being a summer rental or year-round rental?
Probably weekends during the school year, because both of us work full-time. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't have the ability to manage something that was more than a few weekends a month, I would say.
But year-round, you're not ruling that out.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So... I'm Catherine Nye.
co-owner of the house we inherited from our mother at 320 Old Ranch Road. I'm a longtime resident of Arroyo Grande, and I'm deeply connected to this community. I'm a teacher and a responsible citizen of Arroyo Grande. My sister and I inherited the house from our mother. We visited our mother daily at her home before she passed away. We're both Arroyo Grande residents. We live minutes away. We don't have the heart to part with her belongings at this time, so we can't sell her house, and we can't rent the house unfurnished at this time. Yet we must meet expenses on the home. Renting the home with the city-approved vacation permit will allow us to occasionally host responsible guests at the home at a premium price. Often our guests will be friends of the family, referrals, and repeat guests. Unfortunately, if we're not granted the permit, we still plan to rent the house, but we'll do it on a month-to-month furnished basis and will require over a 31-day stay. If we are granted the city permit, there will be city oversight, and the benefits to the neighborhood and the community are many. With the city permit, we will limit the number of guests. Without a permit, we can have as many people as we choose. With the city permit, we need to make sure we have on-site parking available. Without the permit, we don't have to have sufficient parking. With the permit, we have to pass a building safety inspection, and without one, we don't. With the permit, we're not permitted to advertise on the property. Without the permit, we can put up signs and advertise on the property. With the permit, we pay local taxes, and without it, we won't have to. With the permit, we must provide contact information. Without it, we do not have to. But most importantly, without the permit, we will have less income and opportunity to upgrade and maintain the home. That could reduce the property value. With the permit, we will have more income, more opportunity to upgrade and maintain the home, which I feel will increase the property values. I feel that granting the city permit will benefit all parties, the neighborhood, the city, and the owners. We meet all requirements for the city vacation rental permit, and approving the permit is consistent with the Arroyo Grande General Plan. I'm confident that there will be no safety issues or noise issues. Since we own the home, our interests are also at stake here. We want the best for the neighborhood, and we plan to act very responsibly. I kindly urge the Planning Commission to grant our vacation rental permit for 320 Old Ranch Road. Thank you.
Thank you. The commissioners have any questions for this applicant?
I have none.
No.
Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. So at this time, I'll open up the meeting to public comment. And we'll stop with Thomas Woldridge. Good evening.
My name is Tom Woldridge. I live at 281 Mercedes Lane. I am 100% opposed to this. I feel it would be setting a very bad precedent for the area. In addition, retiring from law enforcement, I see it's hard to determine what type of people are coming into this house. There could be some problems, and as a result, we may have a problem with law enforcement. I just hope that you will respect the residents that live here, because when we bought, we've been here maybe 8 or 9 years, the thing is, we came because it is a nice neighborhood. It's an expensive neighborhood for some, and we certainly want to keep it that way. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm just going to say Phil Lozano. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Madam Chair. Members of the Planning Commission, staff members from a Community Development Department. My name is Phil Lozano. I live at 402 Mercedes Lane in Arroyo Grande. And my concern, and I'll preface my remarks by saying that some of the questions that I'm asking have possibly been answered by staff of community development. But my concern is, how did this ordinance that was passed by the City Council in just May of 2014 originate? Who, or whom should I say, or what body recommended the passage of an ordinance that the citizens of Arroyo Grande have lived without for nigh onto 100 years. What was the need for such an ordinance, and why was there virtually no information disseminated to the public by the city so that more public comment was made available? What is the history of this need that I believe is not in the best interest of residential neighborhoods such as Royal Oaks? In fact, is there a need to mobilize our efforts to repeal this ordinance through a vote of the people? Thank you.
Thank you. Alan Manus.
My name is Alan Manus. I live at 411 Mercedes Lane, Arroyo Grande, which is within 300 feet of this planned project. Good evening, by the way.
Good evening.
Commissioners. Our house is located within 300 feet of the proposed vacation rental. When we moved in here 10 years ago, it would have never entered my mind that this quiet residential neighborhood would ever allow a tourist business to operate within 300 feet of our new home. After all, this is a residential neighborhood and not a business zone. Being a civil servant with the City of Torrance for 21 years, and attending most of the council meetings, I had never seen anything like this before. Turning a private residence into a tourist business was something I just never heard of. We were always instilled with the values that the citizens always came first, and we were shown the highest respect for all homeowners and renters as well. They paid the taxes, they gave us employment, and our elected officials. So we worked for them. We worked for the citizens, which I know you all do as well. This plan of a tourist business in our neighborhood violates security of our peaceful and now secure neighborhood, to say the least. A constant turnover of transients will bring loud music, parties, littering, and possibly crime, a drain of city resources, and a drop in our property values will very likely result. Who would want to purchase a home within 300 feet of a motel, a hotel, or a vacation rental? I would not have done that 10 years ago, and I wouldn't do it today. It would make more sense if we were next to the beach, but we are not. I strongly oppose what I consider an invasive plan to our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary Young.
Is it okay if I pull it down? Yes, I'm pretty sure.
Good evening.
Okay, hi. I'm Mary Young. I go by Bonnie, so I consider myself Bonnie Young. And I live at 414 Mercedes Lane. And I have lived there for over 22 and a half years. So I understand some of the things that both Catherine and her sister Nina said about their mother, and I understand how all of us feel. I think that Alan just expressed that very well, that, you know, it's a neighborhood. I could tell you right now, nine families without stopping for a minute that have lived there as long as I have. So it's not like people are just moving in and out all the time. We've lived there for a long time. We know each other. We know what people do. We know when they come and go. And so I'm asking you as commissioners, and thank you for your time, by the way, and for you as employees of the city, that you would each imagine this happening in your neighborhood. If you live in a family neighborhood like I live in, and I'm a widow now, I moved in there with my husband, but I live alone, but I have such wonderful neighbors that I don't want to move. And so I think that if each of you would consider that, and I do appreciate that Catherine and Nina took time to send each of us a letter. I want to thank them for that. And I just want to say that from what I know of their mother, I'm sorry about her death, but I don't think she would want this. I think that they can do something else. I understand if they're not ready to sell the home or do anything with her belongings. I understand that. But perhaps they could consider a one-year or two-year rental lease. There is a home on Mercedes Lane being rented that way, but with through a very reputable family. And we're all happy about it, and we welcome them in the neighborhood. So perhaps that they could consider that, and you as a planning commission and the city as a city could consider that maybe this is appropriate, maybe the city is gaining something from it. I'm not sure what, except money. But perhaps you could consider it as an option that there are areas within your city that you don't want to turn into this type of a rental situation. So I thank you for considering it in that way.
Thank you. Jeff Gildwin.
Hi there, my name is Jeff Giltonen. I own a property at 1305 Newport in Arroyo Grande. I also use my residence, or am planning to use my residence here in Arroyo Grande for Airbnb. I have other properties outside of the city in the city of Orchid, and my wife and I have used this as an extra source of income going on 3 years now. I think what a lot of the people here are concerned about is the fact that perhaps there may be crime, different types of things that would affect the neighborhood, and what they don't understand is how the web page itself works. The market takes care of itself, and that each person that visits the rental is reviewed by the owner. The rental itself is also reviewed by the person who visits the residence. And so it's truly where a market is able to actually take care of itself. So if a person has a bad reputation because they stayed at your house and they held a party or they weren't clean or they annoyed the neighbors, then they're very likely not able to rent another place in the future to another responsible homeowner. It seems to me like the city took the time to spend a lot of money to do a lot of study to learn about the best way to try and regulate this type of business in the community. There was ample opportunity for people to participate in that project, and it seems like the rules as written are fair to all that are involved. I'm sure there's some type of punishments that could be necessary or appeals that could be made if the licensed resident was found to be detrimental to the neighborhood. But right now, people are making decisions, again, based upon what somebody else has said, not what their own experiences are at this point. As evidenced by the appellant, he said he did a lot of research to figure out where the best place on the coast was. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. This law was in force prior to him moving here. As with the rest of the people who live here now, I can understand most people's positions who have lived in that neighborhood for quite some time. But the appellant's specific position, I don't understand at all. He had the opportunity to see that this law was in force. He had the opportunity to choose another city where vacation rentals weren't allowed at this point. So I urge the commission to stick with the rules as they are written and to appeal this license. Thank you. Or approve it. Sorry.
Thank you. Kathy Clerk.
Good evening. I live right across the street from this vacation rental at 321 Old Ranch Road. I've lived there for 22 years. We bought a house brand new when we moved in. And my biggest concern with this whole project is the traffic. I am home all day long. I see the traffic all day long, and they are not there for more than maybe an hour or two a day, if that at all. We have people coming into their home on a daily basis, not just weekends. It's every day throughout the week we've had people there. with increased traffic, up to 4 cars were parked in front of that house one time. We have pictures of that if anybody wants to see it. Just recently, they put all their mother's stuff out in the front yard for someone to come pick up. It was there for over 24 hours. They didn't notify anybody that they were doing this. They didn't take it and put it in the garage overnight. We had this big mess of stuff sitting out there that looked terrible. Finally, somebody came to pick it up the following day or 2 days later. And it's just, this is the kind of behavior that we don't see in our neighborhood. And for us to start experiencing this type of behavior is very upsetting. And I really wish that you would appeal their license or their permit to do this, because this is just going to get worse. We can see it already because of who they are. We already know who they are. So thank you.
Thank you. Chintana Manis?
Good evening. I'm here just want to add something, just only one thing, that about someone that stole our plants recently, let's say a few months ago. So what Nina said, that is handwritten from the same person. So I would like to verify that it's happened that someone stole my plants at night, and also stole some stuff from my neighbors across the street. And it's happened not just only one time, it's several times, and they came back. This is make me concerned about what kind of people that's going to rent this house, and how can, yes, Nina mentioned that she will check it, that the people will rent this home is a reasonable person or something like that, but I'm not sure about it, and I live lower from this house. I can hear the noise even when they talk really easily, you know. So people who came and rent, I'm afraid that when they come out and talk outside of the house, it will make noise. And that's only one thing that I would like to let you know, that yes, there's someone comes in our neighborhood and steal some stuff from our gardens, and we didn't think that someone gonna do that. And if I know that we gonna be here today, I would report to the police station. Thank you.
Thank you. Lonnie Woldridge? Lori. Excuse me. Good evening.
Anticipated coming and talking, so I didn't write anything down. I just want to say I am sorry for the loss of their mother. It is a sad thing. I think they should call it what it is, though. They're in business. They're in business to make money. I went on the website just curious to see what they were charging. And as it stands right now, they were saying, you know, just periodic rental of that, or use of their home. The calendar looks like there's 12 days this month that it's in use. They do have expenses. You have to pay taxes, upkeep, this and that. Well, I'm looking at the charges. The average charge is, the minimal charge is $325 a night. It goes up to $1,800 per week, $6,200 per month. They can rent this house for 1 month and have more than ample money for their taxes, which if they haven't changed, their taxes have been about $5,500 a year. So the upkeep, the house looked to be in good condition. There's no problem there. I just feel that they're insulting and a little threatening by stating, if you don't allow us to do this, we're going to have transient month-to-month renters come in, and they won't need any approval for that. I personally was a little offended by that comment. I don't know the gentleman that said he has a rental on a weekend rental, a vacation rental on Newport. I don't know that neighborhood as well. If it's where I think it is, it's a whole different neighborhood. We're talking about people that have put a lot of money to situate themselves in a neighborhood that's quiet. You know everybody. You pretty much know the coming and going. And this will turn that upside down. I love the neighborhood. I've been here since about 2008. And I feel so safe. Everyone around me watches out for everyone else. They know what cars belong there. And when you have someone that has cars coming and going all the time, you don't know if those cars belong there. You don't know if they're at someone else's house. Are they a stranger? Are they supposed to be there? Are they checking out the neighborhood? I'm over my time, so I'll go. But thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else that wishes to speak that I don't have a speaker slip for? No? I will close the public comment period then. And we'll move on to commissioner comments. Commissioner Fowler Payne, would you like to start?
Yep. I was wondering if there were any CCNRs on that subdivision that had any kind of restrictions for.
To our knowledge, there are CCNRs in place. There are, again, to my knowledge, no restrictions on this type of activity on those lots. However, it should be noted that if there is an instance, the city does not enforce CCNRs. And if there is an instance where someone requests a permit and gets approved for a use that's prohibited in their CCNRs, it's up to their HOA to enforce that, and the most restrictive regulation applies.
But there is nothing in their CCNRs that restrict it?
To my knowledge, no.
The other thing is, I'm looking at this calendar. It looks like they've been in operation for, at least since they applied for their application. So they were able to go ahead and utilize the home without getting a permit or license?
That's correct. So for these uses, it's been the city's practice that because most people do not know that there are regulations in place, they do have guests who have planned vacations around staying here. So while they're obtaining a permit, we do allow them to continue to operate unless there is a life safety issue or some other outstanding municipal code violation.
And there was one other comment I wanted to make. And as I read through the staff report and I looked at the resolution that was passed on vacation homes, and it had indicated that, but looking through their conditions of approval, if there was some way to monitor what transpires the first year and at the end of that first year make an evaluation on how their permit's going, that would be something that maybe the property owners would respond with if they had problems, and then at the end of 1 year when the license comes due again, that could be reevaluated or evaluated to see how the vacation rental is doing.
That's a condition that we will impose on occasion on permits, especially if it's a little bit of a unique use. Interestingly, the ordinance, when passed, the council, I'm echoing, that's why I'm trying to push this away, when the council did adopt the ordinance that Matt outlined earlier, they did request a look back at about a year, and staff is indeed in preparation of that just kind of status report. And of course, this is a update to the council for the regulation as a whole, not on any specific permit. So we will be, as a matter of information, we will be bringing that to council, I believe, on the 28th. Of July, where it's tentatively scheduled. However, placing a condition on the permit is probably within the purview of the commission. However, this would be kind of a unique treatment. We have not imposed such a condition or request on any other permits to date.
Is that me humming? I don't have questions of staff.
It's comment time.
It's comment time for me. It's tough to know where to start. I'm incredibly sympathetic with the appellants here today, but also recognize vacation rentals of residential parties is an industry that's emerged in the last, I'm going to say, few years. I'm not sure exactly, but it was not around 20 years ago, certainly, when that development was built, and it certainly has not been around even 10 years. So it's an activity that's been emerging and with increasing frequency, and I think that the city, in its effort to address this emerging business, do we need to not allow it at all, or do we want to control it, or we want to just allow it without any controls? And I think that the efforts they went through a year ago is a good indication of an acknowledgement of this emerging business and attempt to try to control it. So hopefully that doesn't answer everybody's question, but I think it does address, you know, some of these issues where we're talking about activities and industries and businesses that just flat out weren't around when your neighborhood was constructed, and certainly when my neighborhood here in town was constructed. So in light of that, in my mind, you know, the city created this ordinance, and we can sit and argue whether there's ever enough public input or opportunity for public input. But I know that there were, you know, public hearings and activities that certainly allowed for that type of public input. Too many of us, until we get hit between the eyes with something, aren't really aware of the opportunities that we may have to speak of at that point. In that regard, the applicants have complied with the city ordinance. They've complied with the conditions. They're going to continue to be in compliance, and if there's issues and problems, they're certainly the neighborhood and the city will certainly have every opportunity to address those and rectify those. On a personal level, it's outside of our purview. My personal opinion is this is probably not an ideal location for a vacation rental. But it's not our position to be evaluating the financial viability or the business, whether this is a good business decision or not a good business decision. Our purview is the applicant attempting to use their property in a legal way? Are they in compliance with the ordinances? Is there a need or requirement for a minor use permit or conditional use permit, which is not the case in this application? And address our decisions and support in that review. The application is a legal and compliant application. The other thing that makes it really tough for me, as sympathetic as I am with the appellants, what strikes me as being, you know, we don't want it in our neighborhood. This is not the best neighborhood. This is not an appropriate neighborhood. It harkens to the potential of the city beginning to redline. You know, this is a good neighborhood for a vacation rental. That neighborhood is not a good neighborhood for a vacation rental. This neighborhood is good for this activity, and that neighborhood is not good for that activity. If we're going to create criteria for legal and compliant activities, we have to be very, very cautious that we're not beginning to redline, you know, the community and start getting into, my mind, kind of a dangerous, you know, discriminatory behavior of, you know, I don't want this in my neighborhood, but in the residentially zoned neighborhood that's up the hill or down the hill, this is okay. So there's I'm significantly concerned, you know, about upholding and honoring, you know, the appellants in this regard. The only other comment that I really want to make into Mr. Fichtner's comments, and working with the ag commissions and stuff in these other bodies and in these organizations and in these different areas, I'm guessing, because I'm not involved with the ag community, that going through getting the permit process and dealing with some of these different agencies or organizations, there's probably is a conditional use permit or some of their equivalents that, you know, that kind of review and evaluation that takes place when looking at that. If this ordinance needs to be reviewed and altered or amended, I'm all in favor of the community rising and getting this addressed. In this case, what I see is an applicant that is in compliance, you know, with the city ordinance and in their application and the use. So that's it. Thanks.
Vice Chair Keane.
Thank you. I was on the commission when the public hearings were held for this. Two workshops were held, two public hearings for us. The city council had a public hearing, and they came up with they okayed the ordinance that was brought forward from the consensus of the community in these public hearings. And unfortunately, a lot of people in our community don't participate in these kind of things, and then we run into things just like this, and it's sad. We all need to participate in helping our council make decisions that reflect what you folks want. Now, I'm in agreement with Commissioner Martin that their application is complete and does not violate any part of this ordinance. So we are not, as a planning commission, able to change the ordinance. That's the council's decision to change it, to rewrite it. But I agree with Councilman Martin again. I don't think that we need to get into this redlining, as he calls it, or one side of the freeway and the other side of the freeway of where vacation rentals are appropriate, because there's other neighborhoods that are just as passionate as yours that would come in here too. So as far as us making a decision to uphold the appeal, I just don't think at this time it's appropriate, because nothing in the ordinance has been violated. Thank you.
Thank you. You may approach now.
Again, my name is Ed Fichtner at 320 Old Ranch Road. When I went to City Hall or across the street to find out about the appeal for this, we were told that there was a circumference of 300 feet notification for all the homes, and everyone had an opportunity to write an appeal. But there was a fee that was assessed of $263. So essentially, the decision was made before the meeting to approve the home and disallow our appeal before we had the chance to speak. So we paid the money, and it was basically just to come hear ourselves talk, because it was already a preconceived notion. And I just find that a little bit absurd, if you will, that we paid a fee and now I'm told that we have to pay another fee to bring it before the city council. So is this common practice that we pay fees to be heard, even though our voices fall upon deaf ears? I guess it's kind of a
really
rhetorical question. Pardon?
I really object to that, sir.
Why is that?
Because it was not predetermined by us commissioners.
I apologize.
To this.
Okay. I read just what the recommendation was that was sent out on Friday the 2nd. Before it was heard before you, but we had to pay a fee, and they had already determined what their recommendation. So I stand corrected to your decision. Mine was to, I guess, what the planning committee or the recommendation from the commissioners here, or whatever would come out. Staff. Thank you. So
thank you. Our public comment period is closed unless it's super duper important.
It's relevant to your decision.
Okay. Just because I'm in a good mood.
Thanks for listening to you. My name is Ed Clerken, 321 Old Ranch Road, directly across the street from the proposed project. First of all, Exhibit A, you have this in your packet. Page 4 of the resolution, it states, this permit shall automatically expire on July 7th, 2017, unless a business license is issued. Can you expand on that, or can you folks expand on that and make sense of that?
Thank you.
When we issue permits, oftentimes the permit is tied to pulling the actual building permit. So if that building permit, for example, is not pulled, then and the entitlement is not exercised, then it does have an expiration date. In this case, we activate the entitlement per se with the issuance of a business license. So if the applicant were never to pull a business license or request and receive a business license approval and they don't exercise the entitlement after a couple of years, then the sunset clause would end and the permit would no longer be valid.
Okay, so in 2 years, let me make sure I understand this. In 2 years, this permit expires, correct?
I presume that I believe I heard the safety inspection was done and the conditions are met and the appeal period ends. The applicant is able to receive a business license, and once that license is approved and renewed each year, the entitlement for a vacation rental will go on.
Okay, so the business license has to be renewed annually, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I'll close the comment period again. I'll start. I have a lot to say, which is rare because most of the times I don't. In regards to the appellant's statement, your words do not fall on deaf ears. When we sit here as volunteers, when we were appointed, we were sworn in. And I can't speak for my other commissioners, but when I was sworn in, I swore to serve the people of Aurora Grande. That's my job. I don't serve staff. I don't serve individual applicants. I serve the majority of the people. I am an Aurora Grande citizen. I've been an Aurora Grande citizen since 2001. I've been on the Central Coast since 1992. This is my home as well as it is yours. So I take this community and our job up here very seriously. So when staff recommends something that you see up there, please understand that we go against staff all the time. So there's no, all the time. We come up here and we read that and we say, yeah, no. So please understand that you're not falling on deaf ears, and if you do pay a fee, that has nothing to do with us. That's what the city has in place, and we have no control over that. But know that when you come and you address your concerns, we take the time, and we're volunteers, we take the time on our own time. We don't get paid. We review, we drive by, we look at the property, we talk to other people, we analyze, and we do our best to come up with a solution that will never make everyone happy, but a solution that we feel when we go to bed at night that we've done the best we could for our community. So I hope that addresses your concern regarding the fees and your words falling on deaf ears. So that being said, I truly believe that the City Council did their due diligence when they decided to unanimously vote for a municipal code allowing vacation rentals. They had multiple public hearings. They spoke individually with members of the community, and they went back and forth, and they came up with a large amount of regulation and restrictions in order for these vacation rentals to be properly regulated. Vacation rentals now are going to occur whether or not we want them to. So the option is to have them occur but have some control over what is happening, or have them occur and have no control over it. If we don't have any code in place and there is a vacation rental, when the citizens call to complain, the city has very little that they can do because we don't have anything to enforce. So by actually acknowledging that vacation rentals are now a reality, which they are, having a code in place allows the city to be more proactive in protecting its citizens. We have a permitting process. There are city inspections. They require a local contact person. There are occupant restrictions where if there wasn't a code, none of that would be. We could have 20 people in a house, and there's nothing that the city could do about it. So understand that while this may not be the best solution for your neighborhood in particular, for our community, it's a better solution than not having one. And I hope that that's something that you can understand when the commission comes to a decision. There will never be a proliferation of vacation rentals in your neighborhood. You're allowed one every 300 feet on a street. Am I correct in saying that? We get tax revenue from that, 12%. Our community is lacking homes, and our streets are wearing, and our bond for street repair only goes so far. So an extra 12% in tax revenue does go a long way. So we need to take that into account as well. But it's not just about the money. When you drive into our community, the first thing you see is a giant billboard that says, "Welcome to Arroyo Grande." What does that mean? Welcome to Arroyo Grande, but not in our neighborhood. Welcome, but not here. Just welcome somewhere else. So I guess for me, I understand where you're coming from. I have a neighbor. We live in a small community. We have a neighbor that has a home that he rents out, and people come and go all the time. Is it distracting? No, I actually welcome them because they get to see and experience for a little bit of time what we get to live every day. So when they come into our community and they come to 320 Old Ranch Road, they drive up this beautiful road. It's quiet, right? It's not like they're going to come and be, woo-hoo, look at us, there's so many people, no one will notice if we're loud and obnoxious. It's a quiet road. It's a wide road. There's ample parking. When I drove up there today, there was no one in sight. No one, not a single person. So if they were to pull into the house, unload their stuff, I really don't believe that at this point there's any reason to fear renters at this point. If there's a reason in the future, if this permit goes through and you find that the renters are obnoxious and you're unable to live with them, at that point you'll have some justification to come back and say, hey, this is come to the city and complain. But right now, the theft that occurred, the plants that were stolen, I'm sorry that happened to you. We can't blame the applicants for the loss of your plants. My parents had all of their lawn ornaments stolen in Arroyo Grande. But that wasn't because there were renters next door. It just happens. Theft is a part of life. And unfortunately, the way our society is moving towards, we do have to lock our doors. We do have to be a little more diligent. And what a wonderful community that you live in, that you can take care of each other and look after each other's homes so that when you're not home, you know at least there are other eyes looking on there for you. That being said, I don't see any reason to deny this permit. The applicants have complied with everything we've asked them to comply with, and it is above my purview to deny them this permit. So that is those are my comments. I'll take a motion at this time.
Yeah, I move that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution denying the appeal case number 15-002 and approving plot plan review 15-010.
Second.
Please get a roll call vote.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
And Chair George?
Yes. And thank you for your time. I appreciate you coming and voicing your opinions.
My understanding was that with the recommendation it was already done by the Planning Commission, so I apologize in the way that
I'll tell you that I've been on here for 27 years.
Thank you for your time. No, that's okay. I understand. That's okay.
Well intentioned, we learn stuff every day.
Right.
You know?
Break? We'll take a 5-minute break at this time. Thank you. The consideration of the general plan conformity for the disposition of property. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Chair Judge. Tonight's item is a procedural matter. The city is planning to sell two properties, one located on Pearwood Avenue and one located off of Fay Avenue. And the staff report outlines the background in terms of acquisition or in the case of Pearwood, subdivision of those properties. It is a matter, a requirement of the government code that we bring these to you before we sell properties in order to make sure that the Planning Commission can find that there are indeed that the sale of the properties is in conformance with the general plan. We were here before you last April, and we asked for a representative of the commission to sit on a panel to select a realtor. We've been stalled in that that particular effort, although I believe we'll get going on that again here pretty soon. Commissioner Martin will be the participant as elected at that particular meeting. And with that, staff reviewed the sale of properties in accordance with the general plan and find that we are recommending that there is conformity, and we bring it before you for your consideration. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Does the commission have any questions for staff?
No.
No. I don't either. Okay, I'll this. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Martin, is there anything that... Have you been to any of the meetings? Anything you need to report? No.
Ms. McClish.
As Ms. McClish indicated, that they've been stalled. We have not even met at this point. So my impression is there's a procedural approval or support statement by the commission at this point. And I'm ready to move that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution finding that the disposition of real property located on Fay Avenue and the real property located on Pearwood Avenue, these two properties are consistent with the general plan.
I'll second that. Get a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Mr. George?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Keene?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to the notice of administrative decisions since June 16th. And we have four of them. Did the commissioners have any questions regarding any of these?
For the commission's information, I attended the ERC meeting when Coastal Community Builders presented their development designs for the houses out there. So if there's any questions you have about what went on at that meeting, I'll be glad to address them or try to.
Do you have any questions?
No questions.
No. Terry, do you have any questions?
How many units were originally approved on that subdivision?
I 12.
There was only 12?
Mm-hmm.
When it came before the commission, all we did was approve the lots and that. We didn't do any buildings, although we restricted, put several restrictions on the buildings. And so that's what they came back with and presented the houses, and to make sure that they were conforming with the guidelines that the commission put out. There was the ARC made some very minor changes. The changes they did make were about a couple of retaining walls and trying to make them more just not block and a lot of landscaping and one of them that goes up the hill. They had them put gravel, river effect, a dry river bed is what they did. And then there was a couple of the houses going up the hill on the right that had some, because of the elevation, they were, you could see two stories, pretty flat thing, so they had some articulation concerns about that and had those addressed. And then up at the top on the flat, there was concerns for the Planning Commission that because the existing houses behind that in that subdivision had such small backyards, we wanted to restrict the heights on the houses, on the new houses, and have, if they were two-story, have the second story set back from the back of the house. So, and they went through all that again and made sure that all of them conformed to all the conditions that were from the Planning Commission. Anything else, Teresa?
That was a fabulous summary.
Okay, hearing no other comments, we'll move on to commission communications. Do we have any communications?
I was the fortunate planning commissioner assigned to the ARC meeting yesterday and was able to attend. And Commissioner Keene was there as well. Very short agenda. There are just a couple of very minor issues. I don't have anything to add other than I'm fulfilling my obligation here to the Planning Commission by attending these things from time to time.
Fantastic. And staff communications?
We have none this evening.
Great. Then I'd love to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
We are adjourned.